Thomas Ross Parry.
Yes, Matthew Boyle.
I'm glad to see that we're both dressed for this spectacular occasion. You've got your ranting shirt on, and I've got my ranting shoes. Let's get down to this.
There'll be no ranting blues on this podcast.
It's Tom Matt Attack. Ranting blues? Surely, like, there should be some, like, clever madness pun. You're actually wearing a madness jumper and not a ranting shirt. It should
what
be
is
said.
What is a ranting shirt?
I don't know. It's just got the word rant written across the front of it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, we rarely rant on our podcast, do we? But we might do a little bit of ranting today. There's a couple of, I say no bluesy subjects, but I've got the tutorial blues this week.
Oh, really?
And I'll touch on that later when we talk about a certain game.
Oh, well, from the sounds of things, you're going to like Zelda then, Breath of the Wild.
No tutorial.
Apparently that game just goes, figured it out.
Oh, thank gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
interesting.
We'll touch on that in a bit. But a good week in gaming, Matthew? Or a good week in general?
Good week in general. I've been busy, other than gaming stuff. I just published a new biographic on Shaq Fu, which took a lot longer than I thought it would. I thought I would not have a lot to say about that game, but lo and behold, it ended up being like a 10-minute episode.
I guess the question everyone lips is it as bad as the other versions of the game?
No, I... Dare I say, Tom, to give some spoilers away for the video, I actually go out on a limb and say it's the best version of Shaq Fu. There is no input lag. You can play it on a Super Nintendo through a Super Game Boy.
And the moves.
Yes, I did. I figured them out. Well, at least for Shaq, because he was the main chap. You're beeping away there, Tom.
He's the main chap.
He is the main chap. As
that's
the,
my watch.
The name would suggest.
You probably didn't pick that up on the microphone.
Yeah, but my watch you will is, be surprised.
On bleepy mode. Shaq Fu, fantastic.
Yeah, I actually played quite a lot of the rest of the Shaq Fus as well, and I can confirm to you that the Mega Drive version I bought you is probably the best of the console ones. Oh. Super Nintendo version, a little bit
well,
shit.
The problem I had with it was I couldn't do anything. I couldn't make him do the moves, even though I had the moves list that was written in the instructions. But I just couldn't make any of them work.
Well, it's there's a video I link to within my video from a guy called Cora Gaming, who's a... I believe he's from Korea. I believe I read in his about me. But essentially, he's super into Street Fighter. He goes to like Evo and stuff. Like he plays high-level Street Fighter.
Okay.
And he has a great video explaining why there is this weird apparent input lag. It's because Delphin Software, the people who did Another World, made this game.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was one of the first fighting games to be completely motion captured. And as a result of that... Because there are so many frames in, like, a person getting out of a stance because of how they rotoscoped everything.
Mm.
Essentially, you need to wait until they are standing static before you perform a move. Because if you go out of a crouch or out of a jump into a move, it doesn't register.
That may be nice visually, but it ruins the gameplay.
Exactly, it screws
unless
the game.
Unless you know to look out for it.
Yeah, but...
And the Game Boy has that as well?
Yeah. No, it doesn't. I mean, some of the limitations of the Game Boy obviously force like these extra
frames
things
to
out.
Be cut out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it isn't rotoscope, it's just them making sprite versions. And it works to the game's advantage.
Mm.
It's made by Unexpected Development.
Unexpected Development, that name of the studio?
Yeah, that is the name of the studio, which I thought was a brilliant name of the studio. And then I realised, shit, I've heard that name before. And they're one of the studios that LJN use for some of their notoriously terrible games. Namely, Spider-Man versus X-Men, Arcadia's Revenge is by them. So.
Oh, is that the bad game, is it? On the Game Boy, at least?
On the Super Nintendo.
I
owned it
is
as
it
a child.
Is it a really bad game? Because I was actually interested in that.
That is one of, I probably have it here, Tom. It's one of the worst games I've ever played.
Wow.
Do not buy.
But it's got Spider-Man and X-Men. That's two things ticked off in one game.
And it's fucking terrible. Like, that game, for me, is the reason I never bought another LJN game.
I'd like to try
I've since proven that wrong. Alien 3 for the Game Boy. Amazing. A lot of other Game Boy games. Bill and Ted, for example. Top notch.
Really? Was Bill and Ted
Bill
really
and Ted
good?
For the Game Boy was pretty good.
Okay. Was it the other version that wasn't very good than the NES version?
The NES version's not very good, no.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's...
Seemed a little cryptic when I saw a video of that one.
Yeah, well, I mean, the the Bill and Ted for the Game Boy is just a bit of a puzzle platformer. Already done a video on it. Check it out. YouTube.
Oh, sorry. I must have seen it at some point. You've done so many videos now, Matthew.
85, right? Tom.
85. Nearly as many as we've done podcasts.
No, not really. We've done 152 podcasts with this one. Still a ways off.
Still.
Getting there.
Getting there.
It's almost been 3 years since I started that. Isn't that crazy?
Game Boyle.
Game Boyle. Wow. Yeah.
There's 35 episodes of Paris Pickups now. And it's been just over a year since I started doing that.
I saw you waving around some amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah. Thumbnail. You won't get much from that episode if you watch that, because we've already spoken about that in detail, and you've played that game. So there were a couple of other things I covered which we didn't talk about. But
other than that,
check it out.
Yes, check them both out.
Check out both
like
our videos.
Like and subscribe. No. Other than that, I mean, it's been a pretty good week in gaming, as opposed to the other weeks where I've just been like, oh man, I've got to squeeze in some Yakuza. But squeezing some Yakuza I did, Tom.
Squeezing some Yakuza. Yes. Sounds like a euphemism, doesn't it?
It does, squeezing some... Hey man, I'm going to be squeezing some Yakuza tonight. Beat Yakuza, Tom. Mm.
I saw you did that. You did your usual thing when you beat a game.
Yeah, well, it's a 52-game challenge. I know, it's a retro collect thing. I've explained it on the podcast before. Yes,
but I'm never surprised by you challenging yourself to these lofty heights. But not so lofty, because you usually do it, don't you?
I didn't want to do it this year.
You usually manage to do it.
Every year I've taken up this challenge for like the last 4 years.
And what do
you
gain from this challenge?
Better perspective on what is a good game, what is not a
so
good
it's
game.
So it's a personal challenge for yourself. There's not a competition on Retro Collect.
Well, I mean, to be honest, like, there is a bit of a competition on Retro Collect for this, but I mean, I'm not actively engaging it on, oh man, I'm going to try and see how fast I can
You're
do
just doing
games.
It for a
I'm just doing it
challenge.
Because, in all fairness, I'm probably going to clear 52 games in a year anyway.
You're not forcing yourself.
No. I'm not going, oh man. Like,
but then it becomes a task, and then it's no longer playing games for
and
fun,
I mean,
isn't it?
Like, I generally finish it in, like, October, November. Like,
you are someone who completes games. So.
I try to, yeah. And to be honest with you, having beat Yakuza, I will tell you three things. One, completely stand by my statement, there's a better game than Shenmue. It
Fair enough.
It blows
That's,
Shenmue
I've
out
not
of
played
the
Yakuza, so
water.
I can't say.
But honestly, that game is better than Shenmue. You should check it out. It is fantastic.
But why should it be compared directly to Shenmue? Because it has some similar aspects.
It has a lot of similar aspects. The kind of... Admittedly, there is more a focus on combat here. There is a lot of... Pretty much a lot of what makes Shenmue in terms of like daily tasks. Mm-hmm. And...
Asking people questions.
An open world, asking people questions, going around finding... inquiring about, like, hey, where is this person? Yeah. Oh, because, I mean, the whole gist of Yakuza is essentially go to prison for a crime you didn't commit because you help out a friend. You come out of prison, you hear that 10 years later, this guy who's called Nishiki and you thought was your best friend has kind of turned into an asshole over the last 10 years because he's kind of become mad with power, that you were supposed to grow into your own family. But because you weren't there, Nishiki became the second person to do it, and it kind of went to his head a bit. Mm-hmm. And so you are then tasked with investigating the disappearance of your girlfriend, Yumi, who you were dating before you went to prison, because she...
You or me?
Essentially, Nishiki killed a crime boss who was attempting to do things to Yumi that she didn't want to happen to her. And so he killed her in, like, a crime of passion because she was Kazuma's girlfriend. And he was like, no! And he killed this guy, which is, like, the worst thing you can do.
Yakuza
is
soap opera.
Yes. It is completely a Yakuza soap opera. It's a complete fire power fantasy. There's a bit in towards the end of the game where I was just like, this is amazing.
You want to be the big boss?
No, you don't. This is the interesting thing about it. Kazuma's kind of got this... He's very similar to Ryu in terms of his temperament. He's just kind of there to try and do the right thing.
Is he better with women than Ryu?
Yes, he is.
Ryo.
He also swears a lot more than Ryu. And fights a lot better than Ryu. Controls a lot better than Ryu. And the voice acting in the game isn't half as bad as the voice acting in Shenmue. Oh. Though admittedly, there's a guy who plays a character called Jingu you meet... later in the game, and also the voice actress of Yumi herself when you eventually find her. Sorry, spoiler. Both of them aren't very good. Like, I was just like, man, what the fuck is this? Like, Michael Madsen's one of the bad guys. You've got, Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill himself, doing the voice of the crazy dude with an eye patch that's in all the Yakuza games. His name's like Majima or something, like I can't pronounce it.
They put some real effort into getting
They got some super
some
like high voice talent.
Do, yeah.
It's just a pity that they skimped out then on everyone else who isn't like a main character or isn't recording
question
more dialogue.
Question is, will Shenmue 3 have the same voice actors? I think they've said that,
no,
haven't they? No,
because after the first Shenmue game, they revert to the Japanese voice acting cast and have subtitles.
Yeah, but then they redid it on the Xbox version of Shenmue 2. There's an English voice
sorry,
track.
Yeah.
And I think...
Is Shenmue 3 going to have the same English?
I think,
probably.
Yeah, the same voice actor for Ryo, I think, is signed up for it.
I mean, the voice actor for Ryo isn't that bad, in all fairness. Like, he isn't terrible. I think, to be honest with you...
No, but he's got a certain tone. For me, now he's established as the character,
yes,
isn't he?
Yes, exactly.
And like, to hear another voice coming out of that character would be very peculiar.
Some would say as weird as hearing... A certain Kiefer Sutherland coming out with Snake.
Was that weird for you?
Very.
Yeah.
Spun me out.
Wasn't for me, because I've played Metal Gear, of course, but not as much as most.
I really missed David Hayter. And then I
got
used. I
thought Kiefer Sutherland was good.
Kiefer Sutherland's very good. It just felt really weird. And there are some kind of story hooks that I won't spoil, just in case you haven't played Metal Gear Solid 5, that kind of justify why it's not David Hayter, but at the same time, it doesn't really, because they've used David Hayter for every... kind of iteration of Snake throughout the years, so it didn't really make much sense.
Yeah,
if they were going to do that separation, they should have done it at Metal Gear Solid 3. But
okay,
there we go.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So Yakuza is a game that you should play.
Yeah.
If you haven't already.
Second thing I wanted to say, in my top 10 games of all time.
Yeah, that's high praise.
Honestly.
Indeed. What does that sit with?
God, that is sitting alongside things like your Final Fantasy VII's. It is sitting alongside things like Turtles in Time, Bubble Bobble. Strangely, the one that everyone else is going to raise their eyebrows of, this isn't a clear hallmark of an amazing game, is Lost Planet. Lost Planet is in my top 10 games of all time, because I think...
Well, it's enjoyment you got out of that particular game.
Yeah,
it?
And that is purely not based on the, wow, this is the best game ever made. This is purely on nostalgia, I think, whereas the others, I do genuinely think Turtles in Time is perhaps the best side-scrolling arcade game. I do think Bubble Bobble is perhaps the best pure gaming experience you can have. Final Fantasy VII, probably one of the best JRPGs around for what you can do with the characters, and I really like the story, though... In all fairness, I think if I went back and played it now, maybe it wouldn't hold up as much, and I'd put 6 in
there.
You'll
get the opportunity when the remake comes
out. No, I mean proper Final Fantasy. I don't think the remake's going to enter my top 10. Put it that way.
No, but you get to play through the story again.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, there was a third thing I was going to tell you, but I've forgotten what that is. Oh, so if it comes up,
okay. Shall I talk about what I've been playing this week then?
Go for it.
So I've played Crouching Tiger now.
Hidden Dragon, PlayStation 2,
developed by Lightweight,
yes,
for the PS2, who did Bushido Blade. Okay. So it has, in common with Bushido Blade, a unique combat system.
Yes,
It looks very nice. I'm very impressed with how it looks. It uses cut scenes film from the actual movie.
Okay,
spliced in there. Takes a little bit to get to the action. There are a lot of like very short menu screens and didn't really. Wouldn't be very necessary until I got to the main game. Once I got into the main game, though, it's focused on the combat, of course, and looks nice. There's a lot of the movement. You can do what you'd expect to be able to do, like bounce off walls and glide, and it manages to really recreate that kind of kung fu that's in that movie.
So is it like slow-mo kind of things and...
But it's not over the top. It doesn't do it. It doesn't do anything flashy. It just does it very subtly.
Okay.
But you can do it, and it feels right, and it feels fluid.
So it is not going into the Matrix.
It's not using any fancy slow down techniques or slow down time to get in the next.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything like that. It's actually a very straightforward combat system. What I loved about it actually was when you block, it's not just holding down the block button. You have to time blocks with how an enemy hits you.
Yeah.
So if they're hitting you with your sword, you have to. It's sort of like reflecting the shots.
Yeah. Same in Yakuza.
yeah, it's nice, but I haven't experienced that so much in combat games.
No.
You have a sword and you have fists. You're forced to swap in between your fists and the sword because okay. you have a meter. If you use the sword too much, your meter runs dry and you drop the sword, I think.
Interesting.
Or you can't use it for a certain amount of time. And so you have to switch in between the two things to kind of force you to use both.
Has the sword got a battery or something? Like, what's the matter with that?
I'm not sure exactly. You have a good amount of health. It's not a lot of health, so you have to be very careful about what you do. Your multiple enemies attacking you at once with different kinds of weapons. And it all handles it very well. It's all very smooth. It's all very enjoyable. And I feel there's a real depth to this combat.
Okay.
Even though it is quite easy to pick up and play. And the game doesn't force you into a tutorial, yet it puts you into the main game and just tells you as you play in the game in the corner what you're doing. And because it's so well thought out, the combat system, and reasonably straight, very straightforward actually,
yeah,
it works. And it's a very easy to pick up and play sort of game. You're in a village at the start. You're trying to... I think you're stealing a sword. What is it in the... I haven't seen this film for a long time.
I haven't seen the film for many years.
But yeah, I think you're stealing a sword. So you're in disguise and you're going through this village in the nighttime. And when you've defeated a bunch of enemies... Because that's basically what the gameplay is about. A bunch of enemies come at you. You fight them. And then you'll see a doorway. The doorway that's lit by little flames is the one you need to go to next. So the progression is rather straightforward. You don't get lost.
Yeah.
So you can see where to go and you move on to the next bit. But the core of the game is the combat. And the combat is very enjoyable, very smooth.
I assume open areas like multiple enemies, or is it one-on-one side-scrolling combat?
It's multiple enemies surrounding you. It's not side-scrolling at all. But the thing is, if you were to jump up onto a roof, you've got a double jump and a glide.
Yeah.
If you jump on the roof, the camera moves up there with you.
Yeah.
And the enemies come up onto the roof.
Ah,
it's not
okay.
like they all stand on the ground waiting for you to come back down again.
Yeah.
They actually follow you. And a lot of time you'll be running away from them to try and find some health, because health is limited.
Yeah.
To these little... bottles. That's why you want to get away from them, obviously. It's, I don't know, it's really quite polished, I thought.
Well,
and everything just felt right. I wouldn't say the game tried to do anything massively different, but it also has no music, so it's like
really?
The Kido Blade in that respect.
Okay.
It doesn't...
Oh man, there's a game just come out on Steam. And I've heard described as Bushido Blade-like recently. I can't remember what it is, but as soon as I find out, I'm going to tell you so you can go play it. Cause
but it's not
curious.
Like Bushido Blade in the fact that if you hit, you die.
Yeah.
You know, there's a health meter. I was actually very impressed with it. And I'm thinking this could be a little bit of, dare I say it, a hidden gem.
No. On the PlayStation 2? No.
It's a nice looking PS2 game. You can find it cheap enough, which you probably can find it cheap, because it's not...
You're talking a hidden gem like Ratchet & Clank 3, right?
Ratchet & Clank, yeah.
Sorry.
Not an obvious hidden gem.
You see, Tom, because that is not an actual hidden gem, despite me seeing like Ratchet & Clank in fucking hidden gem videos, because people don't know what the term means.
Yeah,
ah!
Okay. I'll tell you something isn't a hidden gem.
What?
Turtles Mutants in Manhattan for the Xbox One.
Yeah.
It's unnecessarily complex and hectic.
Okay.
That's the note I wrote down here. Strongly recommend you do the tutorial, it says at the beginning.
Okay, cool.
It's another one of them tutorials with the most frustrating, simplistic commands like move.
No, is this the Platinum Games joint?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I really have a hang-up about games which tell you to, you know, move the stick to move.
Yeah.
It's like... That already I'm off to a bad start. Already I'm starting to rage inside, okay? And then the combat system is confusing, I think.
Right.
You know, there's the usual dodges, and there's like a dodge which will make you go behind the other player.
Yeah.
Actually similar to the Naruto Clash of Ninja Revolution, which I've been playing as well.
Yeah.
That has a good combat system. This one, there's a lot of... Because you're controlling four turtles. So you have to remember the button combination to change turtle, which like hold down one button and press another button on the D-pad to change turtle.
Right.
And then the special move to hold down one button and press another button on the face buttons to do this big special move. Okay. And then you've got your radar thing to see enemies. You know, they do that kind of heat seeking thing, see your enemies are. You push the stick in to do that. You can issue commands to the turtles as well. So it's like a rogue leader type squad-based thing.
Yeah.
So you also do that with a D-pad, but you have to push in a different button than you do to change the turtle, as well as pressing the appropriate D-pad option. It's quite a commendable idea, because, yes, the turtles game, turtles work together. They want to help each other out. The turtles heal each other when they die. It's some neat touches, like if all your turtles die, they go back home into the sewer and you have to tap a button to eat pizza as fast as you can to recover them and they pop back out. That's nice. It's got a few... Visually, it's really nice. Cutscenes are good. It's got a story which I was interested in following.
I hear that the bits between bosses aren't very good, the open-worldy bits. I hear the gameplay is a lot more tight when you're fighting bosses.
The first thing is there's ATMs around the city and they're being attacked. So you have to go to each one and make sure it doesn't get destroyed by the soldiers. That's one mission, and it's a little bit dull, to be honest. I love the way the turtles jump. There's a double jump, and they animate very nicely.
Yeah,
they got all the personality you'd expect in there. I love the character designs and how it's another unique version of the turtles. You know, they all look different than you do with anything else. You've got these little headsets where they talk to April as well. All this is great, but when you actually get down to the combat, one-on-one, it's okay. You can tell what's going on.
Yeah.
You get three other turtles fighting foot soldiers around you. You can't see what you're doing.
Mm.
You need to be able to time dodges to attacks to get the most out of your attacking. You can't see to do it because there's so much going on. That's and it's so hectic. It just feels like a mess. And when you have to put in all these unnecessarily complicated controls, your turtle's dying. I want to switch turtle. How do I switch turtle again? Oh, have I got the special move? Oh, no, this one's not got a special move. I've got to wait for that to... And then trying to do that as well as trying to fight.
Yeah.
And I feel like...
I understand why you'd want that level of complexity, but I mean, like, I just did a count in my head. There's at least 16 buttons on a PlayStation 4 controller. Mm. I imagine they're similar on an Xbox controller. Yeah. If you can't map one of these commands to a button or a D-pad and just something quick.
Yeah.
And unify meters, so it's just like, hey, whichever turtle I am at this time will have this special move. Why? Like, why are you overcomplicating things to that degree where it becomes confusing? Because the Platinum games, generally in my experience, are very good at having very hectic fights, which is what you're describing of ideas of lots of enemies coming at you. But the gameplay being simplistic enough that, like in a Bayonetta or like in a Transformers Devastation, you just mash the fucking X button and go...
I think it would be good if it was one-on-one.
Yeah.
But because of the other turtles, it's too much. For me, at least. I can't take a game at that pace and...
Multitask between four people.
Yeah. And you keep dying all the time, or the turtles do, you know. And it's just confusing. It is fun, like, if you do die, you go into your shell and you have like 5 seconds to move. So you can move in your shell to try and get yourself closer to the other turtle so they can heal you.
Yeah.
And I think, as I say, it's a great idea that the turtles should want to help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I like this game. I think essentially it's quite a dull game with a confusing combat system.
That's a shame.
But it's a nice looking and it certainly does capture the essence of the turtles very well.
Yeah. You just don't want to play it again.
I say it's nice looking. It's nicely designed.
Yeah. You're not that fussed with the aesthetic.
But the city, when you're in a big city area,
this is what that looks terrible. Yeah.
And they just kind of go off into nothingness. There'll be a road that'll just go into blackness.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah,
it feels like
sections.
It's been made with a smaller budget, and I think it did come out of. Did it come out at a discounted price?
It did, yeah. But so did Transformers Devastation,
which is an incredible game, a much better game. I've played both.
I had high hopes for the Turtles game after Transformers, because you got it for me for Christmas. Yeah. I really fucking enjoyed that game.
Yeah.
And I saw the Turtles game after that. I was like, yeah, man.
If they do the same thing, as I say, it's admirable they've tried to do something that's relative to the Turtles.
Yeah.
But I don't think it works very well.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
And this game hasn't had the best reviews. I don't know if it's for the same reasons I've said, but I assume that's got something to
Pretty
do
much.
With it.
From what I remember, I was going to buy it on day one, and then I heard reviews of everyone saying, no, it's really bad and really complicated, and I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sucks.
I'm a bit disappointed. I don't really have much of a desire to play it again. For the gameplay, I only want to play it again for the story and the turtles.
Yeah, but I mean, in this day and age, you could, if you were that inclined, just go and watch the tutorials and all of the other bits online, like the bits you want to see.
Yeah, rather than play it. That's bad, isn't it, when you say you'd rather watch a game than play it?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, more time effective at the end of the day.
Ooh, on that depressing note, have you played anything else?
Yes. You will remember Tom Parry. It kind of came up again last week for regular listeners of the podcast. We had a discussion about the PlayStation 2 perhaps being the worst of the three consoles of that generation.
Mm.
Gonna have to say no. I completely disagree. After spent this morning...
Do you want to hear my reasons?
Well, I'd feared your reasons. I was there. I kind of agreed with you at the time. But thinking about it now, I'd say the PS2's better.
Memory
than the Xbox.
Cards.
Yeah.
I like playing games, got a lot of games. Just think how many bloody memory cards you're going to need.
I got about 6 or 7.
Yeah.
It's almost as if I find them everywhere. Well, yeah, admittedly, hindsight is the beauty, right, of us being able to pick up these things for like 20 kroner in charity shops. Or
two controller ports.
Yeah. That is annoying, because there are a few games that I, this morning, when I was sorting out my PlayStation 2 library, was like, oh yeah, man, cool, this does have four player, such as a Turtle Smash Up game.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Turtles, I was like, oh cool, I can play four player. I'm going to multi-tap. Bollocks, never mind. Need to keep an eye out for a multi-tap. And then also Ribbit King, another fantastic PS2 game. I was like, oh cool, I'll buy that. Oh wait, yeah, I need to buy a multi-tap as well. Maybe I'll just get it on the GameCube. There are some downsides. However, I think pound for pound, if you look at the library, purely because of the sheer expanse of the 2000-odd titles...
You're bound to find something you like.
There are fucking incredible games on the PS2. Admittedly, most of them have been re-released. And a lot of them are, obviously, games that have come from other consoles, such as Resident Evil 4. Or the game I was playing this morning, Res.
Mm-hmm.
Res, Tom.
You when you text me about the guest game you've been playing, it... what do you call it? What's it do when it changes the word you're trying to write? Autocorrect. Autocorrected Res to Area. And I didn't think of questioning. And I looked it up and I said, Area video game. What could you...
No,
Area 51?
Sorry. No, I didn't play Area 51. I'm going to CRT to play light gun games.
You need the right gun if you want to as well.
Yeah, I know. Fuck Area 51.
It doesn't
51.
Use the G-Con.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway.
Res, Tom Parry. Oh, boy. So, I've never played Res.
Oh, never? You're playing it on PS2?
I bought a PS2 copy of Res.
I never played it on PS2.
About 2 years ago, when we were still living in the Tom and Matt shack.
Yeah.
And I bought it, and I saw it at a car boot sale, and the guy was like, oh, you could have had a copy of Amplitude if you were 5 minutes earlier. We were talking about the Kickstarter. Long-term listeners will perhaps remember this conversation.
Hmm.
I picked it up, and I was like, okay, well, yeah, sure. I'd always had in my head an idea of what Res was.
Yeah.
I'd always assumed that it was some kind of... I knew it was kind of roughly on-rail shooting, and I knew it was rhythm-based. So I was like, oh, well, maybe this won't really play as well now, playing it through a PS2 on a decent TV, in the same way I can't really play Parappa the Rapper on the PS1. I don't know. Like,
surprised
I'm not...
you're playing it on PS2 and not on Xbox.
Yeah, well, I never bought it on the 360 Marketplace, and I don't have it on Dreamcast, so I have no other choice.
Unless you want to buy the 360 Marketplace version.
Yeah, I could do, I guess. However, fuck me, Tom Parry, Res is really good. Yeah. Res is really, really good. Nobody
it's
told...
like Panzer Dragoon in a lot of respects.
If someone would have told me it's Rhythm Star Fox, I would have been there in a fucking heartbeat. I guess...
It's more Rhythm Panzer Dragoon, isn't it?
I get... Well, yeah, I mean, you're not flying around.
And you can switch, look behind you.
Yes, you can.
Target multiple things. But, well, you can do that in Star Fox.
You can, yeah.
Not in the same way as in Panzer Dragoon, though.
No, it's true. But I haven't played much Panzer Dragoon, and I love Star Fox.
Yeah.
Someone would have told me, hey, there's this really good game. The visuals are absolutely insane. The music is really good. Yeah. And essentially...
From a design aesthetic as well.
On rail shooter that will be right up your alley. I would have bought this game back when it came out. I would have perhaps even bought a Dreamcast for it.
Yeah.
Because, man, this game's good. Like, I'm surrounding the hype of PlayStation VR. I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll wait until PlayStation VR comes out because everyone's raving about Res.
I've never played it.
Yeah, it'll be great. And I didn't end up getting a PSVR. And in all fairness, looking at the amount of games that have been released since launch of that thing, perhaps that was a good idea. I want to borrow someone's PSVR and play Res, because I imagine that is an absolute fucking mind blow.
I imagine it's good too. I imagine playing Thumper in VR is also very nice.
Is Thumper anything of this caliber?
Thumper's got incredible gameplay. I remember at the time I didn't know really what I thought about Thumper when we talked about it last, but reminiscing now and how addictive one more try type gameplay that is, it's a lot more simple than Res, really. You know, it's all about timing, and of course the rhythm will help you with your timing, but there's not a lot. You reach a corner and you have to press a couple of buttons to jump up, bounce off the corners in order to succeed, and then it's simpler. But it's also that it's that experience of going down a tunnel to a beat.
Yeah.
But I think Thumper is a little bit more intense than Res.
Yeah.
Because it's fast. It's super fast.
Got to the end of I beat the third stage, so I've got the fourth and fifth to do tonight. Mm. I was quite unprepared for that third level the first time I played it, because the first level's a cakewalk. And I was like, okay, this is pretty chilled out. Maybe I'll play this a lot. I got to the third level, and like level two, like I wasn't the weird floating ball with all the sound waves coming out of it. I got my ass kicked by that boss a lot of times. Mm. You know, the one where it starts with its like laser beams spinning around, coming off these panels.
Is it the octopus thing?
No, that's the second boss.
That's the second boss.
This thing is essentially, you go into a room, there's like panels rotating around on a 360 like cylinder with lasers coming out of it. You blow them up.
Yeah.
Then you go into a room, and essentially it looks like the inside of one of those rooms you fly in Star Fox. Mm. It's got a cylinder in the middle with like light strips on it, and then it fires like hundreds of little spaceships at you. And you're just flying backwards, shooting these spaceships. Yeah. I got nailed so many times on that bit because I wasn't fast enough at shooting them. And then I kind of got it, and then I realized, okay, cool. Weird thing I'm starting to realize.
Mm-hmm.
I have a terrible sense of rhythm if I'm drumming along to something or if I'm trying to dance.
Mm.
I think that is perhaps true of most people who play video games. Mm-hmm. We're not the best dancers. However,
I don't know. Depends what games.
Playing rhythm games, I am able to surprisingly keep rhythm very well.
Mm.
Which is very interesting to me. I think it's perhaps because I can focus on the rhythm while I'm doing it. But it was just like, I got a hit rate of like 98% or something in the third level.
It's got a zen-like quality. And I think that's what ties it to Thumper, but they're both very different games.
Yeah.
The thing they have in common is that kind of focused you need to be able to play it.
To be honest with you, I foresee a week of rhythm games ahead. I picked up Guitar Man for the PS2, which we talked about on the other podcast. Mm. I haven't played it yet. I got Space Channel 5 to test out. And I'm probably now going to buy Thumper.
Shoot.
So I'm going to get all of this stuff out of my way.
Shoot.
I don't get your reference. I'm sorry, I've never played it.
You know, you do the directions to do your dance moves.
Yeah.
And then occasionally you have to shoot something. So you press a button, like the B button.
Yeah.
And then shoot. So it's left, right, up, down. Shoot.
Yeah.
You know, that's basically the gameplay of Space Channel 5.
Fair enough.
Is that part two you've got?
I think it's the first one.
That's the first one.
Yeah, the second one's quite rare on a PS2, I think, right?
Hmm. I think the second one is available on the Xbox.
Is it?
Download.
Oh, it was in that Dreamcast collection,
it's also
right?
available individually to download.
Okay. If I like it, maybe I'll pick it up.
Because that's meant to be the better game.
The second one. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll play the first one anyway. I mean, I have it. So.
It's got added Michael Jackson in the second one.
Hee hee, Shimon.
He is in there, but not a lot.
Michael Jackson and Sega. just a beautiful thing that I'd like to know more about.
Because they have this sort of relationship, because Michael Jackson was apparently working on Sonic 3's
soundtrack. Yeah, he's a ghostwriter for like Sonic 3 songs and stuff. It's insane. But yeah, I'd like to know more.
Mm-hmm.
That Moonwalker relationship runs deep, Tom.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, it's Michael Jackson and Sega.
But other than that, I don't think I've really played much. I dipped my toes into all the fighting games on the Game Boy. I can tell you World Jet Heroes is probably the best one.
Yeah, you were saying this before, yeah.
Mortal Kombat 1.
It's nice to know. I might try it out.
You should. You should give it a go. I will let you.
Can I have a go?
You can have a go, Tom
Parry.
Oh,
so nice.
Primal Rage, Killer Instinct, and Mortal Kombat 1 are probably the worst.
Okay, well, there we go.
Don't buy Primal Rage.
It's not very good in anything, is it, really?
No, it's fucking terrible on the Game Boy, though.
Oh. But something that I didn't touch on, which I wanted to in this podcast, and I feel like I sort of missed my opportunity when we were talking about movie games, is movie tie-ins.
Okay.
And it's been on my mind recently that there's not so many movie tie-ins anymore.
No.
And I, for one, really like movie tie-in games. And I also thought they're not very good at first. I had this perception in my head that most movie tie-in games were crap.
Hey, man, the reason I started reviewing as many licensed games as I did and why I have a segment on Biographic now for the last 2 years called Jalicense.
Yeah.
It's because there are some incredible licensed games out there.
I have an incredible nostalgia for this idea of watching a movie and going out and buying the game of the movie.
I never used to do that, see? Yeah. Like, that was never a thing for me.
But I it's something that I miss. I miss it now. I miss being able to watch a film and then say, oh, I can get the game. Because it's a fun idea to see how then the game is interpreted from the movie. Say if we go to cinema, it's the new X-Men Apocalypse, and then you go out and buy the video game. That's something that just doesn't happen anymore.
No. And I mean,
and it would have, definitely. A few years ago, well, quite a few years ago now, you would have probably got that. I remember there was the odd film that didn't get a game tie-in. But most films
did. Jesus, man, I've got a Lawnmower Man. You know, like everything in the 80s and 90s has some game related to it.
But it says a lot now, games don't rely on movies. And back then, you know, the name came from the movie. Now the name comes from the franchise. These franchises are so well established now.
Yes.
I mean, they made a movie of Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider is a good example of a game that exists on the strength of its video game and not being based on a movie or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, look at Assassin's Creed. They're also filming a new Tomb Raider now. Yeah, there's Hitman.
It's just switched.
Yeah.
Games don't need movies like they used to.
Well, they were essentially adverts, weren't they? They were, you know, they were buying into the world in a way that the full 360 media experience that you get with, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe now doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, especially isn't now. You were telling me before this podcast this idea that Marvel have said that their Spider-Man game that... Insomniac, thank you, is working on at the moment is not going to be based in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's going to have its own universe.
Mm.
You're not okay with that.
I'm not surprised by that, but I'm kind of partly disappointed because it's another instance of you not getting to see that. Oh yeah, they've got the voice actor from the movie. They might have the voice actor from the movie. I don't know.
They might do.
The actor. It's cool. I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think it's just a sign of the times.
I'm happier with that because I think that having like a movie license adds constraints.
It does add constraints.
I think if you would go back now to the Xbox 360 and say, hey, would you prefer a game that was Arkham Asylum or would you prefer a game that was based purely on the movie The Dark Knight?
There was one, wasn't there, in development?
There was.
I think for The
Dark
Knight.
And they cancelled it. For very good reason that would not be a good video game.
Yeah. But there's a certain charm to that. You know, seeing, as I've said before, seeing how they would have tackled that interests me incredibly, and I miss it. And Xbox 360 is a perfect example of where it changed. It changed there. Because the original Xbox had Batman Begins.
Yeah, it did.
The video game.
On the PS2.
And you got Spider-Man 2, the video game. Spider-Man 3, the video game. Actually, Spider-Man 3 is an interesting one because that was released on the Wii.
Yes.
And the PS2.
Yes.
Oh, I don't think it got released on the other consoles. But they did the Amazing Spider-Man video game. So I just think it's an interesting talking point. An interesting change in video gaming.
Well, like I was saying to you, I was trying to think of the last games that I could think that were purely licensed.
Mm.
And the last one that comes to my head immediately is Jumper. Of course, I mean, there is a Lego Movie game. There is a Lego Force Awakens, which is perhaps the closest thing you've got to a Star Wars game.
That's right, yeah.
However, like...
But remember when they had Revenge of the Sith had its own video game?
Yeah. I typed in movie games into Google. All I got inundated with was a list of apps. That is where that market now resides, Tom Parry, I think, is on the mobile market. But I would go so far as to say it's probably not on the same level. It is probably literally like, hey, play Arrival Bejeweled, which I'm sure would be great and fitting towards the serious tones of that movie. Hey,
which movie?
Here's Arrival.
Arrival, sorry.
Arrival Bejeweled. Hey, you liked Gravity? Well, here's Gravity Scrabble. Play it with your friends. It's a waste of space is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I get you.
It's interesting. I think a lot of licensed video games nowadays are based around the idea that it's kids' movies. I think, obviously, there is, as I said, the notable Force Awakens, the Lego game. Mm. I think there's also a lot of Disney games. I mean, the new Cars game is in development now by Frontier. Mm. Or are they still called Frontier? The studio that made Disney Infinity that's now getting...
Yeah, I think so.
...been bought by Warner Brothers.
Then the last Cars game, though, was a racing game. It wasn't based on the movie. Actually, the first Cars game wasn't the based on the plot of the movie.
No,
either,
that's true.
I don't think.
I mean, neither was really Toy Story 3, from what I remember. I remember
I think so. There was the open world thing. There was Disney Infinity was present there. But
yeah,
I think it did have something which went along with the movie, slightly.
But to be honest with you, like most of the good licensed games that I've played recently, I mean, even Saw Today, I was saying to you, like, I never really was one to go out and buy a game based on a movie that I really liked. I had some Star Wars games, sure, but I mean, they weren't current at the time.
But GoldenEye, you were...
I had GoldenEye. Okay, fair enough. But GoldenEye is based on the movie. GoldenEye falls
it's part
of the movie.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, shit. Okay.
to the movie.
Fair enough. GoldenEye.
And then Quantum of Solace as well on the PS3. In fact, I recently bought Quantum of Solace on the PS2 because it's actually a different game.
Oh, really?
It's a different game. It's a third-person action game as opposed to a first-person one.
Oh, interesting.
And the more you research these games, the more you realise actually. Some of them are very good.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean,
but you just a lot of the time, I think people's habit is to dismiss them.
Yes.
Because I had no idea that Quantum of Solace on the PS2 was worth getting. Yeah. You know, I was like, well, I got the PS3 version.
I had no idea Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was worth getting.
Yeah, and Crouching Tiger was really the catalyst for all this thought that I've been having about it.
But you know,
So what do you think, audience? Listeners?
Yeah, let us know. I would also like to argue the corner, like I was going to say, of the game that is based on a movie but isn't the movie, like The Thing, for example. There's a follow-up to that.
Yeah, yeah. And even Amazing Spider-Man, what we were talking about last week on the Wii U, is a sequel.
Yeah, that's true. Scarface is a sequel. I don't remember that game being very good, though.
Oh, yeah, Scarface. That was all right.
The Warriors game is a pseudo-sequel, right? Or takes place around the time of you...
Yeah, you don't follow the plot of the film.
You do not follow the plot of the film. It's just, you know, you fight the baseball furies and all of this
kind
of stuff.
Not much of a plot in that film, anyway.
No, that's true. They just run away. Can you dig it?
I was quite disappointed with The Warriors when I saw that.
Oh, man, The Warriors is a good film. Like, it's not... It doesn't deserve anywhere near the level of hype it gets. I just think it's got some really cool design things and some memorable quotes, like the clink, 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 Warriors!
That's the only one, I think.
Can you dig it? Comes from The Warriors.
Okay,
when he's giving the speech at the start. Can you dig it? And then it got stolen by The Rock in wrestling, I think.
Really? The Rock? The Rock had a lot of catchphrases, but I don't know if that was one of them.
Can you dig it? It was definitely a wrestling catchphrase. Anyway, talk about what you're going to
talk
about.
Can you dig it?
Google. Yes, you can! Oh, God, we made a Robbie Williams reference.
What was I going to talk about? Oh, yeah, so the Switch is next week. We've talked about movie games now. Let's move on to another topic, current topic, and that is the Nintendo Switch. And I was thinking a little bit about that as well. And I was trying to think, because I'd love to... get a Switch at some point.
I apologise. It was Booker T's.
There you go.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Well, that's a wrestler as well. So. I was thinking, I'd be like, how could I justify to myself buying a Switch at launch? And I thought long and hard about this, and I couldn't. Because the only game I want to play is Zelda.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get that on the Wii U, and look at the rest of the launch lineup, even for the forthcoming months. And it's like, no, I don't really need it. I don't really want anything there. So the prospect of a Switch, and I really can't believe this is a brand new console with so little prospect to it right now,
yeah.
At least. Zelda is the thing that yeah. people want to play. But when you can play that game on another system, what is it that will make you want to buy a Switch? Their unique game is 1-2-3 Switch, which is using all these unique functionality of the console.
Problem on that.
Is it unique? Is it using a lot of that new functionality?
No.
No. So it seems incredibly underwhelming to me, the Switch launch. And I know we talked about this before, that it is underwhelming. There aren't a lot of games. But there's usually something
yeah.
that unique to that console that is like, I've got to get that console for that game.
Yeah.
And when Zelda isn't it, then it's a very hard sell, I think.
Zelda is it for me, though.
For you. Because yeah. I think perhaps the Switch version of Zelda will be technically superior.
Yes.
I think that's without question. Of course, I'm not saying the Wii U version is not going to be perfectly playable, which I'm sure it will be. But you'll notice a difference, I think, in the clarity and maybe some of the frame rate and yeah. such. But I'm just shocked at Nintendo in a way about this. Yeah. Should I be shocked?
No.
I mean, Wii Sports was a revolution.
Yeah.
Wii U, well, that's another instance of a slightly lackluster launch. Well, but at least they had Mario, didn't they?
They did, yeah, but I mean, it was New Super Mario Brothers,
which wasn't incredibly unique.
I mean, it's hard.
It's a fine game, but
it's not great. I mean, let's think back to over 4 years ago when I got my Wii U for Christmas, yeah. just as we were moving into our new place.
Yeah,
I got it. I got Super Mario Wii U, and that was it.
Was Zombie U a launch title?
Zombie U was a launch title. I did not pick it up.
That was, at least at that time,
an interesting game that played on that concept. Used
the gamepad.
Yes.
And Nintendo support Nintendo Land.
Mm-hmm.
That was a launch title
it
as well.
It was a launch title. It was bundled in with the 32-gig console that I didn't get.
And Nintendo Land, I'd say, was probably more of a game than 1-2-3 Switch. Because it had several games within it, which were more traditional. So the idea of the Switch is not even to look at the screen. 1-2-3 Switch.
I've watched a few videos of people playing 1-2-3 Switch. Yeah. And it looks a lot more fun than I gave it credit for.
Yeah.
Not 50 quid's worth of fun, don't get me wrong. Yeah. That £2 I would have paid from Amazon would have been right up my street. If I would have got it for £2, I would have loved that game.
Yeah.
But it should be a packing.
Totally.
I've heard a lot of people say, are we going to see a thing like 6 months down the line with this console where Nintendo are offering an ambassadors program and we get 1-2-3 Switch for free for buying the console and all of this other stuff? My biggest concern at the moment, and this is the thing, I don't know if you've been following all of this launch stuff closely. Now that these things are in the hands of people, my biggest concern is the fact that I need to pay an extra 30 or 70 quid on top of the cost of my Switch to be able to play the thing on my fucking couch.
What's that?
Because you see, Tom Parry, and dear listeners, who perhaps may have not been following this very closely, the Joy-Con grip you get in the box of the Nintendo Switch...
Works, doesn't it?
...does not allow you to charge the Joy-Cons. If you would like the privilege of being able to plug your Joy-Con grip and your Joy-Cons in and plugging a cable into your Switch, you need to pay 30 quid.
For a cable?
For another thing for you to put your controllers into to make it into a controller. Thing. Because the thing you get, the Joy-Con...
Is that official?
Joy-Con grip you get in the box is a piece of plastic.
Oh, I know that. I know that much, yeah. It but there's another not, Joy-Con grip that has...
There is a Joy-Con grip that you can pay for 30 quid
yeah.
that allows you to charge those fucking grips and to play it on a wire.
So you can only ever charge it when they're attached to the Switch, plugged into the dock.
Yeah. So when you run out of battery...
The battery's got to be pretty good then.
7-8 hours, I hear.
Well, that's fine. I could manage perfectly well without having to buy anything extra, I think.
I don't know if I can, honestly.
In that case, wouldn't you rather get a...
Pro controller. 70 fucking quid, Tom.
Yeah, it's too much.
70 fucking pounds for a controller.
I agree, and it's one of the reasons why it's not worth getting the Switch at launch.
I'm not I'm honestly debating, should I pick up a Pro controller or should I buy one of these Switch thingies? And I'm aiming on the side of the Pro controller, which I don't want to be aiming on because it's 70 fucking quid. But at the same time, the only reason I'm not going, oh, well, I'll get a Pro controller.
Yeah, yeah.
Is because I bought a Pro controller for my Wii U.
Yeah.
Use it like twice.
Yeah.
I
use it all the time, actually.
Yeah.
I use it for Call of Duty. I use it for Mario Kart.
You don't like the gamepad, though.
No.
I like the gamepad an awful lot.
I prefer to use the Pro controller, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very concerned, to be honest with you. As someone who is going to have... By the time you listen to me next, viewers, I will have had a Switch, I will have played it all bloody weekend, and I will tell you my thoughts on Zelda and Bomberman. I won't do Switch, because fuck paying those prices. Unless there's a bundle offer. If they're like, hey, you can buy this with 1-2 Switch for a tenner, I'll pick up
I'd persevere with it as it is for now, and wait for the accessories to go down in price.
I don't think they will. I mean, you know, let's be honest here. You look at
Wii U Pro Control, and then decide whether you really need to get that extra.
Yeah, but I mean, you look at like a Wii Motion Plus controller. It's still like 50 quid, mate. Like, they're not going to go down in price because bloody Nintendo.
Third party? Second hand? There are other options.
If I could get some weird kind of dongle that would let me use a PlayStation 4 controller, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah. Maybe there's a way around it to save yourself some cash. I know it's usually nicer to use the Nintendo products, but...
The thing is as well, in my mind, the thing that's annoying me and kind of goading me towards paying 70 quid for a controller I don't really want to pay 70 quid for, is the fact that I'm afraid that in classic Nintendo fashion, if I don't buy one at launch, I will not be able to get one. And then if I find out that this is a massive pile of shit to play with just the piece of plastic that I need to plug these Joy-Cons into.
Yeah, I don't think you need to worry about that. I think they'll be plentiful, those controllers.
I don't know. You can't pre-order one online anywhere at the moment. They are completely sold out online.
Okay. But what is there to get excited about with the Switch?
For me, Zelda. Everything I feared about Zelda at this moment in time...
The same. I'm excited about Zelda, but I don't need a Switch to play it.
No, it's true. Exactly. This is the thing that's winding me up. I honestly want ARMS. I think ARMS looks like a very good game.
I like the unique style of it.
My only worry, Tom Parry, wait for this joke, because it's coming up. I'm lining it up right now. I don't know if ARMS has legs.
Who else has said that? Have you got that?
I think it's just me. Honestly,
is that yours?
I think that's mine. I'm trademarking it, putting it on a t-shirt. First Tom Matt t-shirt. I don't think ARMS got legs. Name of this episode.
It's wonderful.
Anyways, I just came up with that. I'm pretty impressed with that. Sorry.
I can tell.
Yeah.
And quite rightly so.
Anyways, I don't know if it's got the longevity that I would require from a game like that.
That's it. That's what
because
I think about it.
I don't really like any of the Wii Sports games. I played them a couple of times, went, this is nice. And the more and more I've thought about ARMS, since
I was
really enthusiastic.
Are you going to keep wanting to come back to ARMS is a question? Or are you going to play it and go, oh, that's cool. And then just... Because when you get a game you can't wait to come back to, it's an amazing feeling. And I think it's quite rare, especially for me nowadays.
Yeah.
But I don't think ARMS is going to be one of them. Unless that experience is so good, you want to keep... going with it.
Honestly though, like if the combat is good, I'm not a fan of motion controllers.
No.
I quite liked the idea of boxing. I quite like Punch Out on the Wii.
Do you keep going back to Punch Out? Or did you when you got it? Or do you play it and go, that was cool?
Yeah, but the controls aren't that accurate. That's my main concern with Punch Out is you essentially can do the same thing you can on Wii Sports and just flick the controller. It doesn't actually matter.
Yeah, this will be better than that, of course.
Which, from all things I've seen, this does genuinely seem to be like, hey, the controller knows.
Yeah.
Like, the tech in these Joy-Cons is so sophisticated that you can turn your punch at the last minute. And you can do subtle things that make me think, wow, this could be the kind of game that I've wanted for the past 10 years.
Maybe.
At the same time, while I've wanted that game for a very long time, I think Super Hot is a great example of a game that I've been like in my head going, yeah, man, that's amazing. And then everyone has gone, yeah, cool. Super Hot's only 2 hours long. That's the perfect length for this game. I don't know if it's going to be a game where I want to pay 40 quid for it and then keep playing it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough sell, especially as at the moment there are a million good games coming out for different platforms that I already own.
That's it. And I wonder if I'll feel differently about the Switch had I have played it.
Yes.
I don't know, because this is all this opinion is coming from a guy who's never even touched the Switch.
Yeah, me neither.
So I could try it. Maybe next week I'll get the opportunity.
You will undoubtedly
to do so.
Try mine. We will undoubtedly play some two-player Bomberman.
Yeah. Maybe I'll be sold then. But right now, I can't see any experience I can get from that I am willing to fork out all the money to buy one right now for.
Lego City Undercover without loading times is going to be good.
Oh, gosh. If that's the best you can come up with.
A portable I Am Setsuna, that role-playing game that's been out on every other console for about 6 months that I've been holding off playing because I was like, this is going to come to Vita, it's going to come to Vita, and then it didn't, it's come to Switch.
My thought about the Switch and why it is what it is I think Nintendo, because I was thinking, how are Nintendo going to break out to the audience who are now all using phones and tablets playing games?
Yeah.
Or maybe they can make the Nintendo phone. That could be their next thing. It'd be a game console, it'd be a phone. But they've done the other thing. They've made a game console that's a tablet.
Yeah.
Because I can just see, you know, as in work, you know, parents bring their kids in and sit them at the table with a tablet.
Yeah.
This is that. And I think maybe that's been in their heads when they've been designing the Switch.
Well, I mean, that was what was in their head when they were designing the Wii U, right?
Yeah.
They had this.
But now they've finally done it right.
Yeah.
You'd think.
You'd hope.
You'd think. But also, I'm a little concerned about how robust this thing is. Because the Wii U is a plasticky toy like. You can bash that gamepad around. I do it often, drop it, and it's fine. I would not want to drop
Nintendo Switch.
Because that screen could crack, I think. It's a different type of screen, isn't it? It's like an iPhone screen.
We have several iPads, I've had several iPads. I had iPads since the iPad 2. I've dropped those. They can take a bit of a beating. Mm. Admittedly, you're always like, oh, shit, when you drop it and you're hoping you're not going to pick it up and the screen's going to be completely shattered.
Mm. I've always thought I'm not someone who drops things, but the amount of times my gamepad has fallen on the floor.
Yeah, mine too.
And I do question whether or not.
To be honest with you, this is the first time ever I've considered when GameStop are just like, hey, do you want to insure this console for an extra 30 kroner?
Oh,
I'll probably
they're
go.
They're loving it.
Yeah.
GameStop, they're rubbing their hands with glee. The amount of warranties they can sell with these consoles.
Yeah.
It's very delicate. The kids, you know, it's like with the DS, you know, that hinge, we'd use it all the time at game. You know, talk about the hinge, tell them the hinge, you know, I've got a floppy hinge at home, you know. Well, that's what someone used to say.
That might have to be the title of this podcast.
that's someone used to say who I work with. You know, mine's flopping around all over the place.
Oh, God, yeah. don't take it home to your kids.
So, they'll be loving that. The stores will right now. Because I think it is a potential
issue.
Did you,
honestly, like in your time in games retail, did you have many people come in and claim the warranty?
A few.
Yeah.
A few.
The good news is, though, if this thing does break, if I do accidentally drop it on the bus and then it rolls down the aisle and smashes in a snowball of rage, fortunately, all of the purchases now won't be linked to your console. They'll be linked to your Club Nintendo account.
Oh, that's something. Maybe that's what they thought.
Did you get your game ID?
I had got it ages ago.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I did that for the 3DS when I got a new 3DS ID and everything.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
yeah. I am Game Boy officially now.
I'm still Toodlebug 500. Yeah, that's my ID.
I wanted to go with my PSN one, but I was like, no, I should probably go with the brand. Stick with the brand.
That's good. That's good. So it's exciting to think next week we'll be experiencing a new console.
Yeah.
But really, what we'll be experiencing on that new console, to me, we can get elsewhere.
You know what I mean? Like, remember me, and listeners will probably also have someone remember me. Remember how hyped I was for a PlayStation 4 that had nothing on it?
There's always this at the beginning. You're
remember
right.
Remember how excited I was for Knack, Tom? Yeah. Remember how much I lied to myself that Knack was going to be the thing, that Knack was going to pull it around, is going to be the next Crash Bandicoot? I didn't say that. I was kind of like, well, I got nothing else to buy. At least I have a Zelda title.
At least you have a Zelda title. It is, I guess, better than most launches. At least have
Zelda.
Well,
I mean, if you, like, a lot of people are saying, hey, this isn't a strong launch, this is that.
Have the launches ever been good?
No, exactly. Look at that PlayStation 4 launch. I didn't have anything really to play on that console. I couldn't have played similarly on a last-gen console. The best experience I had at launch of the PS4 was Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which I could have bought on any other console.
Yeah. Wii U, even.
Exactly. Even on the bloody Wii U.
Unless it came out later on Wii U.
No, it didn't. It came out day and date with Wii U. It was Watch Dogs that was the one that was delayed. Because Watch Dogs is supposed to be launched. They pushed it back. Mm. Which is, I imagine, what they've probably done with Mario. Can you imagine if there was a Mario and a Zelda title on the day one?
You know, if there was a Mario title on day one...
Yeah. You would have bought it.
I would have been more tempted to buy it. Because I want to play that game.
Yeah.
Because I know it's going to be great.
New Donk City Boy. We'll see.
But the idea of playing the Switch on the bus and such doesn't really... I don't know. It doesn't...
I mean, in all fairness, our commutes are long enough where you could actually do that.
Yeah, that's right. And I use 3DS on the bus for playing Pokemon. But Pokemon's very well suited for portable gaming. Yeah. Is Zelda a big, massive game? You probably want to experience it on a big TV as well.
I've heard that the experience of having it and pausing it and like sleep molding the console and plugging it into your dock is seamless.
Yeah, and I think it is that kind of explorative game where you could, maybe make sense for it.
I could totally waste an hour on a train playing Zelda, you know what I mean? Dan Reichert, one of the guys from Giant Bomb, has been playing it, and he said he's played like 25 hours. He played 25 hours a bit before he beat the first dungeon.
I've heard this as well.
It's that expansive. There's so much to do
and that much to look at.
That he just kept playing it and was just kept going around.
And that sounds like a Pokemon type game. It sounds like a portable game. I wonder, well, it can't have been designed with that portability in mind, can it? Because it was never intended, originally not intended to be a portable game.
Well, I mean, what you've got to bear in mind is, like, who knows how long this has been ticking? I would imagine not as long as it probably should have because of the depth of the software library at launch. But
has the game changed knowing that it was going to be released on the Switch?
One would assume so.
That's what
I'm very. Are you buying it for the Wii U?
I have it. Yeah.
Have you got it pre-ordered?
Yeah.
It'll come on Amazon, right?
So it'll be the sixth to the eighth of March.
Okay, so we can't talk about it next week.
No.
The comparison.
The week after we can.
Any interest in Horizon Zero Dawn?
It's meant to be fantastic.
I've seen it getting perfect review scores.
Yeah. So why are we all getting... No, of course, we're all getting excited about Zelda. But if you think about it and think about money...
Yeah.
Think about all these great experiences I could be having if I bought maybe Zelda on the Wii U, I bought Horizon Zero Dawn on the PS4.
Yeah. I can't, though, because I'm in for the Switch now.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think the option is better to do that than to even buy a Switch at this moment.
It probably is. I mean, in all fairness... For the price of the Switch, if you have one of those consoles, you could buy one of the other consoles, which has an extensive library, and one of those two games for cheaper than a Switch. Like, cheaper than the cost of a base Switch. That isn't even that is without buying Zelda. It's interesting, right? Like,
right now, it is. I think the Switch will become a good console with some great games, but right now, not much to get excited about, I don't think.
No, it's a shame.
Oh, that's a bit of a bum note, isn't it?
It is. Before we end the podcast,
but it must be said.
It must be said, and you know, maybe I will be singing its praises. Maybe I will be very sour on the next podcast. We'll see. I'm sure you will see me on Twitter at GameBoyle. For those of you who want to know that, my exact responses to the Switch, me swearing at my controllers going dead or anything else, I'm sure I will tweet my rage. But until then, I guess we should end this podcast. I did play a little bit of Ghost Recon Wildlands.
The
beta that is out. Quite liked it. It's pretty much Ghost Recon. I haven't really got a lot more to say.
I saw some visuals. I saw some video of the character creation. That looked quite cool.
Kind of robust. You should give it a go. It ends today.
No, it just made me want to do, though, make a wrestler on WWE.
Yeah,
16.
And there you could actually mess around. Like, here is like, hey, you have set character faces and character paints and all this kind of stuff. It hasn't got the degree of customization to say, like, a Bethesda game where you can go in and tweak, like, the angle of your nose.
It did look very nice. The faces looked pretty.
It's a very pretty game. Vehicle handling is fucking atrocious. Some of the worst vehicle handling I've had in a game, as it is an open world game.
You want it to be on par with something like GTA, you know?
even Metal Gear's got much better handling, you know what I mean? Like, the main thing of the game is you are going between large areas, killing these Mexican drug cartel people and gaining info and all this. And the vehicle handling is trash. There's literally a moment in time where I was on a road, a very thin country road, and I realized, oh shit, I need to go back. So I literally just quickly like flicked the D-pad, and my car did a 180 turn, like on my turn of the D-pad, and I was like, man, that's rough.
So
like
maybe it's something I adjust to. Maybe it's just different.
It doesn't feel good.
No.
Like, and I played it with Carson, one of our work colleagues.
What did he think?
He loves the Division. He's been playing it. He's like, I'm going to get this a launch. He's like, yeah, the vehicle handling is not really good. He goes, you get used to it, he said, but it's not really good. And I was like, if you're saying that and you were...
Is it a big part of the gameplay?
Honestly, every mission is like four or 5 kilometers away from each other.
Yeah.
So you either need to fly a helicopter, which admittedly feels nicer than driving a car. But, I mean, then you've got to find a helicopter, whereas cars are plentiful.
They're usually notoriously difficult to fly helicopters in video games, aren't they?
Yeah. In comparison, it seems like a cakewalk.
Because just think Battlefield helicopters.
The amount of times I've got in a car, though, in that game, like in the hour or two I played with yesterday, and tried to drive down a road, and then my car would end up just going, oops, and like flying over the side of the road.
Mm.
At the end of the day, I just started using it like a toboggan. I just literally would go to the side of a mountain and go, right, okay, cool. This seems like a smooth enough path that I can just drive off here and I won't get completely fucked up. So I was doing that a lot. I was literally just driving off the edge slightly and then letting my car's momentum take it.
It's worth downloading to try out, but you're not sold on the game.
I'm not sold on the game. No. To be honest, playing it with a person was like, okay, the gameplay, the actual shooting and stuff, and the, hey, I'm going to go for this guy, you go for that guy, is very solid. I could see that really working. If you have a close-knit group of friends, say, on a Thursday night, you could properly get some joy out of this game. For me, though, I don't know. I don't know if it's a game I want to invest in. I've played many Ghost Recon games, and it's interesting, but, you know, there are other things to buy, namely a Nintendo Switch for an extortionate amount of money. But anyways, I guess we'll end the podcast there then, Tom Barry, if you have nothing else to say.
Okay. No, I've purchased some more games this last week, but we can save them until another time.
Oh, we'll have some Switch coverage and some week-old Parry's Pickups. Are they in the Parry's Pickup videos? Can they go and see the latest Parry's Pickups and find out
about
them?
There is the latest Parry's Pickups. It's a little bit outdated, I guess.
Will there be a new Parry's Pickups between now and the next podcast where our listeners can find in these things and co-market?
They can certainly find out some new pickups from the next Parry's Pickups, but maybe not the ones I'm specifically going to talk about on the podcast.
Well, why not keep an eye on Parry's Pickups and also listen to the podcast, and you can find out what Tom's been spending his money on. Again, I will be spending mine on a bloody Switch. Nintendo Switch and a fucking 30 quid grip. Ah! Anyways, if you like this
Get a
podcast,
grip,
man. Despite me ranting, oh no, I want to throw a microphone at you. It's not arms and legs, is it, Tom? Come on.
Not quite, but I tried.
Yeah, you did. You did. It's all right.
I was. It was more of a reserved pun. Is it too late to talk about Rez now? It was ages ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought you. Yeah, I thought you were making some kind of pre-order joke.
Also, maybe maybe it's a double whammy.
It works on multiple levels. Yeah. Anyways, if you've enjoyed this podcast and the absurd right turn it's taken at the end, you can listen to more of them on tomandmattattack.com/podcast, blastprocess.com, and in iTunes and Stitcher. While you're in iTunes, give us a cheeky rate and subscribe. It lets us know that you are listening, and we bloody appreciate it. Let us know what you think about things like movie tie-ins.
Yeah, do you like them?
Nintendo Switches.
Name a good one that you like.
All of that jazz. Yeah. If you have a hidden gem for the PlayStation 2 that isn't God of War 2, then please let us know. Also, at TMAcast on Twitter and on Facebook.com/TomandMattAttack.
Anyone play Crouching Tiger?
Exactly.
Let us know.
You can find us individually at TomParry11 and GameBoyle on Twitter as well. You can find our various projects, my Shaq Fu review on youtube.com/GameBoyle and Tom's Parry's Pickup videos on blastprocess.com's YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Until next week, where I will have a Switch, I will have played some Zeldas, and Tom will be waiting for an Amazon delivery. Game on.
Game on.